After he returned to Los Angeles, they polished the draft. Finally, he sent copies of the 28-page memo to Eisner, as well as other Disney executives. "As we begin the new year," Eisner read, "I strongly believe we are entering a period of great danger and even greater uncertainty. Events are unfolding within and without the movie industry that are extremely threatening to our studio." As he read, Eisner couldn't help but think of his own industry memo, written at Paramount almost exactly 10 years earlier. "Success in the motion picture business is highly prone to prompting complacency and recklessness." Eisner continued reading. "Some of you might be surprised to read these words. After all, wasn't Disney number one in 1990? Yes, but our number one status was far from a sign of robust health. Instead, it merely underscored the fact that our studio did the least badly in a year of steady decline for all of Hollywood, a year that was capped off by a disastrous Christmas for nearly everyone. Since 1984, we have slowly drifted away from our original vision of how to run a movie business. Once, we had a fairly strict and pretty successful strategy, which we referred to as our singles and doubles philosophy. At some point, we seem to have replaced it with a strategy that might be best called the yes, but philosophy." Here Eisner underlined the words and wrote, "Well said." As in, "Yes, he's expensive, but it's a great opportunity for us." Or, "Yes, that's a lot to spend on marketing, but we have too much at stake not to." "Our initial success at Disney was based on the ability to tell good stories well. Big stars, special effects, and name directors were of little importance. Of course, we started this way out of necessity. We had small budgets and not much respect. So we substituted dollars with creativity and big stars with talent we believed in. Success ensued. With success came bigger budgets and bigger names. We found ourselves attracting the caliber of talent with which event movies could be made, and more we began making them. The result? Costs have escalated, profitability has slipped, and our level of risk has compounded. The time has come to get back to our roots. If we remain on our present course, there will be the certainty of calamitous failure, as we will inevitably come to produce our own Havana, or Two Jakes, or Air America, or Another 48 Hours, or Bonfire of the Vanities, all enormous flops, and then have to dig ourselves out from under the rubble.
Katzenberg bemoaned the blockbuster mentality that had overtaken the industry, noting that the shelf life of many movies has come to be somewhat shorter than a supermarket tomato. His proposed solution was basically to go back to the earlier Disney formula. Eisner had little trouble with these points, nearly all of which he considered his ideas in the first place. But he cringed when Katzenberg began discussing specific projects and naming names, especially Dick Tracy and Warren Beatty. Dick Tracy is a case in point as to how the box office mentality is affecting the movie-going experience, Katzenberg wrote. "We knew that its success would be for the most part judged by its opening weekend box office performance, so we did everything that we could in order to get the film, the audience, and recognition we felt it deserved. It seems that like lemmings we are all racing faster and faster into the sea, each of us trying to outrun and outspend and out-earn the other in a mad sprint toward the mirage of making the next blockbuster. In this atmosphere of near hysteria, I feel that we..."